हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So Mahabharata, continuing, the Kauravas' hatred grows from chapter 6. So we've seen here is that the Pandavas, because of their position, it's just so obvious of their superiority. And Yudhishthira has been made the crown prince. So Duryodhana, of course, won't be able to handle this because his idea, he should be the single sovereign, lord of the earth. And the Pandavas should just like go to a different planetary system or something like that. Anything short of that, he just can't function, right? That's the result, because he has so much envy, so much jealousy, that kind of thing, because it's not cooperative, it's going to destroy everything. Because Krishna's idea is that he is one entity, right? And then he expands his energies. And his energies are unlimited, right? They're him, so it's like that. So they all cooperate together in serving Krishna. So this whole point in relationships in rasa is because there's cooperation. Yes, you can have a single individual without connection to others, really, if you're looking at simply an Atmarama platform, where you're just self-satisfied on the spiritual platform. But that means you're doing nothing. You're not absorbed in anything. You're not, nothing else is going on. But to expand this bliss, then Krishna expands his energies. And then you have all these unlimited varieties of energies, and they all cooperate together, focused on him. Right? So then being focused on him, that cooperation, that's what makes for all the rasa, all the pastimes, everything, is because there's that cooperation. So we can see here is that Duryodhana is the epitome or the essence of mundane consciousness, because it's not about cooperating with anybody. He doesn't mind if someone else, he's good friends with anybody who is serving him, his needs, his interests. And when they don't, then they're of no importance. So this idea of cooperation is not actually there in his ability. He has the ability, working on the aspect of artha or gaining something, he knows he can work with someone to gain what he wants, but it's not an actual cooperation with the person. It's a cooperation in which the person is involved. So it's, in other words, I'm cooperating, let's say, with my pen and writing things. So I hold the pen properly, I deal properly, I put the proper pressure, I put the proper angle. So then the pen writes nicely. So you could say I'm cooperating, but it's not about actually a relationship with the pen. It's just about what I want to get done. So that's Duryodhana. You could say he's just material consciousness personified. Right, that's his uniqueness, his specialty. Right, no one else is as mundane as him. So then he says, "I have been considering how to deliver us, from this problem of the Pandavas." Right, listen as I explain my idea. So he's speaking with his father here. Duryodhana first suggested the Pandavas be sent to a distant city. On the pretext of sending them on holiday, they could be sent to Varanavata, where a splendid festival honoring Shiva would soon be celebrated. The town was noted for its attractions. The Pandavas would surely be pleased to visit it. Once they left Hastinapur, perhaps they would never return. So he's just saying, they'll go, maybe they won't come back. Why wouldn't they come back? It's their place. You go on a holiday, you come back. But, he has other ideas. Dhritarashtra immediately understood what was on his son's mind. How could he possibly agree? Pandu was always virtuous, right? Because Pandu went out, conquered the world, brought back everything, and then gave so much of a share to Dhritarashtra, gave so much to Vidura himself. He kept a certain portion for the kingdom, things like this. He went to the forest. He didn't take anything with him. So he was always virtuous, always looking after everybody. He arranged, you know, the marriages. He helped arrange all these different things to see that things would go on nicely. And so the difficulty comes down to it is that Duryodhana, I mean Dhritarashtra, to go against his brother would just be wrong. But as we said, Duryodhana couldn't care less about these things because he sees himself as the center of attention, not relationships with other people. He said, he did not care for wealth. Pandu, my pious brother was devoted to me. He gave me everything, including this wide and prosperous kingdom. How could I hurt his sons? Besides that consideration, said Dhritarashtra, the people love the Pandavas. They would be angered if the Kurus sent them away. Perhaps they would rise up against their leaders and remove them by force. And certainly Bhishma and the other senior Kurus would favor the Pandavas. Right, so the people in general, if the leadership is going, they wouldn't do anything or create any problem, any kind of revolution. But it's not that they couldn't. It's just that if things are nicely managed, why would the people want to? It's going very nicely. Duryodhana was ready for this objection, right? So he's thought about all the different things that someone could say, and he's already come up with his devious plan for each one of them. Before sending the Pandavas away, the Kurus would try to win over the people by various means. By bestowing wealth and honors on them, they would gain their love and trust. Then, in the Pandavas' absence, it would be possible for Duryodhana to become king. The prince went on, once my position is established in Hastinapur, Kunti and her sons could even return. Do not fear for their welfare. Right? So he's looking at it for, they could go away to this place, maybe they'd never come back. But the point is his thing is they would have to go away until he becomes king. Once he's king, then if they come back, you know, what does it matter? He's already the king. So he'll control things as he likes. Yeah, so he's there. So, but before that, then according to the various points of Niti and that, he's going to, you know, honor the people, give them things, give them facilities so that they'll start to like him like that. So that would already start going on before they send them away. Because right, this point at Varnavata, it's a specific time. There's a big festival for Shiva, and in this town, it must be something the people from all over go for, some big festival and all that. You know, so because in India, you have these festivals where the whole India is interested, like Kumbh Mela, everyone goes for those kind of things, or, you know, different places you have, you know, like Kali Puja here in Bengal, or the Ganesh Chaturthi in Bombay, or, you know, different programs, they all go for these different demigod things. You know, so he's saying, don't worry about their welfare. If he can, he'll get rid of them. But, you know, he's would have to see how the people are reacting. Dhritarashtra sat up and leaned towards the sun. This very thought has been on my mind. But I have not spoken it because it is a sinful thought. I am still doubtful. How do you propose that we deal with Bhishma, Vidura, Drona, and Kripa? Right, because he said, I already thought about this. They love the Pandavas as if they were their own sons. Duryodhana smiled. Bhishma will remain neutral, as he always does. Drona's son is my staunch supporter. His father will never go against him. Drona has married Kripa's sister, therefore Kripa's support is assured. Vidura is the only one we cannot trust. He will certainly sign with the Pandavas, but what harm can he alone do to us? Right? Because if it's only him, then he can't really create any problem. If he has all the other ones, then they could maybe do. But that's his point, is that because Bhishma will be neutral, and then Ashwatthama is on his side, is Duryodhana's side, that will control his father, and that controls his mother, right? Because that's Kripa's sister. So in that way, then through Ashwatthama, it's all controlled. And Bhishma's out of the way, it's only Vidura. Duryodhana implored his father to agree. The Pandavas were allowed to remain in Hastinapur. He would not be able to live. His heart was burning, and he lived in constant anxiety, right? Created by himself, but whatever. Dhritarashtra was torn. He sat sighing for some moments. Finally, he gave his assent. Everything lay in the hands of Providence. What could he, a mere mortal, filled with desire and fears, do against destiny? The king called his servants and retired for the night. So we see here is that he's trying to do the things, but when it comes to the point down to what should be done correct and his attachment for his sons, he goes with the attachments for his sons and just says, okay, let's see what destiny has to say. What will happen? It's up to destiny. We can't change it. We can't control it. Though they try to control everything. Right? But when it gets to the point where it comes down to, should I do the right thing or not? He'll do the wrong thing and say, oh, it's up to destiny, as if he's speaking some nice philosophy or something. You see, he'll do this constantly throughout the whole story. Chapter 7, the Pandavas sent away. During the weeks that followed, Duryodhana and his brothers slowly began to win over the people, right? Because it'll be some time before the festival. So in that short time, they start to do all kinds of nice public things and catching the attention of, you know, who are there ever the most influential in the society, who's the main leaders, the cultural leaders, social leaders, religious leaders, like that kind of thing. They distributed wealth and honors liberally and provided the citizens with all kinds of amenities and pleasures. At the same time, Dhritarashtra's ministers spoke continuously in the court about Varnabhata, as they had been instructed by the king. The Pandavas heard them describe the city's attractions. The festival of Pashupata is starting soon. The procession has no equal anywhere in the world. The decorations, gems, jewels, and entertainments delight the heart. Right? So they're talking about this, you know, beforehand. So no, the Pandavas don't know anything about this. Basically, no one else does, just that they're all talking about this. And so Duryodhana is winning over the people. The ministers are talking about this wonderful festival. The Pandavas will hear this and think, oh, that sounds very nice. The young princes were attracted. When Dhritarashtra saw that their curiosity had been aroused, he said, I have been hearing a lot about Varnavata of late. It occurred to me that you boys would derive much pleasure from visiting that city. Why not make a state visit, bestow charity on the people, and take your leisure? After enjoying yourselves there, you may return whenever you please. Right? Instead of just saying, you go there, see the festival, you know, and all that, and then come back, or things like that. You go there, and then whenever you please, make it sound like it's all just their idea there, like this. Yudhishthira looked carefully at the blind monarch. Why did he not ask his own sons to go to Varnavata? Right? Because he would say, ah, it sounds very wonderful, so, you know, all of you boys should go, you know, like that, including his own sons. Like before, when they go down and to the Yamuna and play, it would be all of them together. Anything else they would do, they Drona is their teaching, it's all of them together. Why Varnavata? It's only the Pandavas. Right? So immediately he sees that there's something there. Yudhishthira had seen the unusual kindness that Duryodhana had been displaying towards the people lately, right? Because normally he doesn't do that. And he knew that he was hatching a plot, right? Because he's always hatching a plot. But he felt helpless. He decided it would be better to do as the king suggested for the time being. Their position was not strong, right? Because as a leader, as a manager, you know, the king and that, you have to know when you're in a strong position, when you're in a weak position. Because when you're in a weak, then you have to go with what's happening and work out on the things as it goes, you know, keeping aware. If you're in a strong position, then you can always oppose something that's not ideal, like that. So the Pandavas, it's only the five of them, and then everybody else, and the king seems to be on that side. The ministers are all talking like that. You know, you have Duryodhana and all his brothers, and we see that when he's mentioning this, then Drona, Kripa, all of them are not saying anything. So then he can see that they're not in a strong position. The Pandavas had few friends or supporters, and the king's sons were constantly inclined to harm them in any way they could. Perhaps a time away from Hastinapur would help. So he's thinking, okay, maybe if we go there, it'll be away, they won't be so agitated. Maybe for them it'll be, you know, they'll be more peaceful, and then coming back it'll be a better relationship that they might have. A date was set for the Pandavas' departure. Duryodhana could hardly conceal his joy. He immediately began to make plans, summoning his confidential counselor, Purochana. Taking him by the hand, the prince said, "This world and all its wealth is as much yours as it is mine. You should act so it will be protected." right? Because Purochana is his confidant. And so, therefore, he's in a good position and good facilities because Duryodhana is. So the point is Purochana's facilities is all there because Duryodhana has facilities to give him. So he has to protect the wealth, right? So if he doesn't protect Duryodhana's wealth, he's not protecting his own. You are my trustworthy supporter. I am completely dependent on you. Listen as I tell you what must be done, and done secretly. Do not repeat to anything what I shall now say to you. So that means you tell no, because as soon as you tell people, there's more of a chance that it'll get known. So you tell nobody, then everything can be done nicely. Duryodhana asked Purochana to go at once to Varnavata. Using skilled and trusted artisans, he should construct a spacious mansion for the Pandavas. It should be elegant and full of rich furnishings, but made entirely of flammable materials. Right? Everything should be done really, really well, but everything is it will burn very, very nicely. Mix ghee and oil with earth and a large quantity of lac. Plaster the walls with it and then paint over it carefully. Then scent the house so that no one will suspect anything. So you're building the whole thing, but everything is built just out of stuff that burns. The furniture will burn, the walls will burn, everything, you know, like that. The prince also instructed Purochana to leave pots of ghee and oil in the house. He wanted to ensure that the building would burn to ashes within minutes. Right, so that would be just sitting around the house in places. And after doing that, then, you know, make nice incense and fragrances so that no one will smell all these burnable stuff, because especially when it's fresh, these burnable things, you can smell them. Duryodhana then revealed to Purochana the whole plan he had made with Shakuni. Purochana would meet the Pandavas as soon as they arrived in Varnavata. He should then show them to their quarters, making sure they knew that the house had been built for them on the king's orders, right? Because they're going there, so the king had ordered that they build them a nice place. Purochana should live with them to help allay their suspicions. Then when they were least suspecting it, he should set fire to the house while they slept. Duryodhana squeezed his minister's hands. Everything depends upon you, Purochana. Know that I shall reward you with unlimited wealth if you do me this favor. Leave immediately, for the Pandavas will be there soon. Right, so yeah, they can get so many people and they can do so much in a very quick time like that, because, you know, as kings they have so much facility. Purochana promised to do everything he had been asked. Gathering a number of men, he left immediately for Varnavata on a swift chariot drawn by asses. Right, so these special kind of asses, they're very, very strong, and so then they can run very quickly for very long periods of time. Because horses, it's, you know, they're very agile and this and that. The asses aren't good for that. They're just good for running, and, you know, in a straight line for a very long time. So he wants to go very quick. He began work on the house the moment they arrived. On the day of their departure, the Pandavas went before their elders and bowed down in respect. They touched Bhishma and Dhritarashtra's feet and embraced their equals with love. Taking leave of the ladies, they walked respectfully around them with folded palms. Then they mounted their fine golden chariots. The citizens crowded around them as they made preparations to leave, then followed the chariots as they slowly made their way out of the city. The young princes felt sour at leaving their homes and loved ones, right? Because one is, it's not that they're going for a festival, they're going out because of the political situation. And so when they'll be able to get back, they don't know. So therefore it's not a, you know, the happiness you feel on going on a vacation. It's actually, they know it's a political arrangement. Seeing their grief, some of the people spoke out. One Brahmin said, King Dhritarashtra does not have equal vision. He favors his sons over these virtuous princes. Pandu's sons will never commit any sin, right? Though Duryodhana will happily do so many, right? They are blameless and pure and do not deserve to be sent away. So the people are saying, they're just being sent away, because otherwise, if it was just a festival, and, you know, the elders naturally would have seen it, in, you know, at some point in their life, and the young princes wouldn't, then, you know, why aren't all the princes going, right? Because before this, they were in the Gurukul, before that, where they would be really young and all that, so now they're at an age and after training that they could go out on such things. But why aren't the Duryodhana's sons going? So then they're saying it's unequal. They're keeping one at the palace, the others are sending away. Some of the people censured Bhishma for allowing it to happen, while others condemned the blind king and his son. Many of them declared that they would go with the Pandavas to Varanavata rather than remain with the cruel-minded monarch. You know, because the point is, what's the point of being protected by someone who doesn't have the proper vision? Well, if they go with the Pandavas, they know they'll always be taken care of. Yudhishthira checked them. The king is our father, our preceptor, and our superior. He is always worthy of our worship and should be obeyed without question. Right? So that's also why he's going, because Dhritarashtra sang. So therefore, he's following that. We'll see that comes up again and again. Is Dhritarashtra then says something that's improper, but Yudhishthira will go with it because he's their superior. This is the eternal injunction of Scripture, and we should abide by it with a peaceful mind. When the time came, he said, they would render his brothers and him service in another way. The citizens then circumambulated the chariots and departed, tears flooding their eyes. Right, so the citizens would have kept going, but Yudhishthira asked them to go back. Otherwise, then, you know, you'd have the Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana there, the kings, but no citizens. Right? You know, then it'd be another fight. They'd have to go and fight and get the citizens back, you know. When the Pandavas reached the edge of the city, Vidura met them. Vidura had learned of Duryodhana's scheme through his palace spies. He wanted to warn Yudhishthira without anyone else understanding his message. Going before the prince, who was still in the people's midst, he spoke to him in the language of the forest tribe people. Speaking cryptically, you know, means very, it's very hard to tell because you're not saying much and it's kind of indirect. Vidura said, one who knows there are sharp weapons capable of cutting the body, although not made of metal, is not injured by them. Right, so he's saying there's a weapon that is sharp that can cut the body, but is not made of metal. Right? Then if you know that, then you won't be disturbed by them. He survives who understands that the consumer of wood and straw does not reach the dwellers of a hole in the forest. Always stay alert. One who keeps his senses under control can never be overcome by any enemy. Because if you're controlled, then you don't become angry, you don't do something foolish. So they're always aware, they see everything. So now he said that there's weapons capable of injuring you that are not made of metal. And he says, he survives who understands the consumer of wood, because he doesn't say fire, he just says who consumes wood, because most people won't notice. But who consumes wood, right? You know, we don't mean a woodchuck or a woodpecker or something. We mean, you know, fire. And it says it does not consume who dwellers the hole in the forest. In other words, the rats and moles, and they live underground. The forest, the fire goes over the top, so it doesn't bother them. So whatever animals live underground won't be affected by the. So the whole point is there's a danger. It's not made of metal, so it's not regular weapons. And there's a hole underground into the forest, they survive. So then you can understand that there's going to be a fire, and you're going to escape through, a hole underground. Vidura spoke for some minutes, and Yudhishthira, who was versed in many languages, understood his meanings, although the message was not understandable by others. So one, he's speaking in a forest, you know, tribe dialect, and at the same time he's speaking, you know, very indirectly, as we saw for what was there. So others didn't understand. When Vidura finished, Yudhishthira replied, I understand. Vidura smiled and walked respectfully around the princes, bidding them farewell. He left for his own house. On the road to Varanavata, Kunti asked Yudhishthira, right, because they're on the road, so they're going to wait until they've left all the people, everything like that, everything's calmed down, you know, everybody's back to their normal things, whoever is going with them, if there is any servants or anything. They'll all be doing their own, they're not paying attention, right? Because immediately then if you ask, oh, what did he say? Everybody wants to know. You just wait for some time. So when they're on the road, then Kunti says. Kunti asked Yudhishthira what Vidura had said. Yudhishthira replied that Vidura had told him that their house in Varanavata would be burned down. He'd also told the prince that the means of escape would be revealed to him. The learned Vidura then said that he who is self-controlled wins sovereignty of the earth. Right? So then he'll be peaceful and all that, and then you make your plans. Like Duryodhana is not peaceful. Therefore, he's not going to win sovereignty. He can't control his senses. Yudhishthira can. He will be. When the citizens of Varanavata heard that the famous Pandava brothers were approaching their city, they came out in thousands to greet the princes. The people saw Yudhishthira leading his brothers like Indra leading the celestials. They worshipped and welcomed the princes and led them into their city to the accompaniment of trumpets, drums, and conch shells. So this is not their own city, but everybody's heard, everybody. So they've left their city, the citizens are unhappy, they go to this next city, they're happy that they came to visit, like that. You don't have that with Duryodhana. Cheers filled the air as the brothers proceeded slowly along the road, reaching the city's main concourse. They got down from their chariots and went first to meet the Brahmins. Right? The concourse is like the main area in the city. They got down from the chariots and went to meet the Brahmins. Then they met with the city officials, then the warriors, the tradespeople, and finally the workers and servants classes. Right? So Brahmins will always be first. Then it's going to be the Kshatriyas and other leaders of the societies. Then it's going to be the business person, the trade people, then especially it goes from the wealthiest down. And then the workers and servants, and so they'll meet everybody. But there's an etiquette, so then you follow that. After greetings were over, the Pandavas were received as guests of one of the chief officials. Remembering Vidura's warning and unsure of what to expect, they remained there for 10 days. Right, so they remained at that official's house because he invited them, and so he's not sure what's going to happen, so they're just going to go there and watch. Then Purochana told them that their own residence was ready, right, because it wasn't ready yet. He personally led the princes and Kunti to the house he had named the blessed dwelling, right, means the auspicious place. As they entered the house, Yudhishthira said quietly to Bhima, "From the odors, I detect there is evidence that this house has been made of lac and other materials soaked in ghee and oil." Right, so he's going to be aware of that because Vidura had made the comment. So that's what he says, control the senses, be aware, like that. While otherwise, they would have thought it's that, or maybe it's new, like that. But or they would have thought that's strange, but they wouldn't necessarily have thought too much of it. Without doubt, Purochana intends to burn us to death in this place. It is just as Vidura told me. Duryodhana has obviously entrusted Purochana with the job of killing us. Bhima replied, "Then why should we live in this death trap? Let us return to where we have already been staying," right, at that chief's place. Yudhishthira did not think Bhima's idea wise. "If we let Purochana realize we suspect him, then he may try anything in order to kill us," right? So now they know exactly how he's planning to kill them. And Vidura said he's going to reveal a plan to escape. And so then they know how it's going to be, so they can watch out for it, and there's an escape from it. While if they don't, if they just leave and go back to that official's place, you don't know what Purochana will do. He may try anything, and then it's anything like that. Obviously, he is without scruples and is determined to do the will of the ruthless Duryodhana. We should not give him any indication that we are aware of his wicked intentions. So, yeah. So we'll end here, and then we'll see what plans the brothers make for, living in this place. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.